We light a light in the name of God who creates life, the Savior who loves life, and the Spirit who is the fire of life. Good morning. Welcome to worship at University Mennonite Church. Today is the sixth Sunday of Lent and is also called Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday. For the call to worship today, I will be reading Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Ruth will now lead us in the gathering hymns.
Hymn, so I will be leading it from the piano up play it through one time, and then we'll sing it through several times. It's a meditative sort of song. And then we'll finish when I slow down at the end. It'll be over.
We would like to welcome any visitors we have today. There are microphones on each side of the aisle, and so if you would wait for a microphone and stand up and introduce yourselves, or if you came with someone, they can introduce you. So what visitors do we have today?
Good morning. I have visitors 2 weeks in a row. This week I am happy to welcome my family to visit, visit me here, but they can see the church that I go to. So my mom Jill, my sister Kayla, and my dad Bob. So thank you for welcoming them.
It's good to have you with us today. Anyone else?
Hi, Gabrielle Robinson. Mike and I are happy to have my parents visiting this weekend. My dad Ed Rivera is here at church this morning.
I'm glad that you're with us. Anyone else?
Good morning. Shane Miller with my wife, Joy, and my parents came this weekend, Ellis and Joy from Kansas, and my dad flew back this morning for the sake of coming to visit a new child that was born several weeks ago, Milo Penn, and he joins us this morning. So want to welcome him this morning as well. So.
Yeah, we're glad that Shane's family can be with us, and we're also very glad that Milo can, and the flowers that are on the piano are in honor of Milo. So. Ruth will now lead us in the Lenten theme song.
Everyone. And if you sing in the wrong verse, it's okay. It's an idea. So if you sing
I love that song. I never get tired of that song. I wish we could sing it every Sunday all year long. So it's now time for the children to come up front for children's time with Esther.
Do any of you know what special day today is called? Annika? Exactly, Palm Sunday. So I'm going to read you the story of Palm Sunday from the Beginner's Bible. And then we'll talk about it a little bit. This is called Make Way for the King. Two of Jesus' friends went to look for a donkey. Jesus had told them just where to find it. It would be tied right by the village gate. Thank you. It was going to be a special donkey. Jesus was going to ride on it. When the friends found the donkey, they took it to Jesus. They put their coats on its back, and Jesus got on. When the people saw Jesus coming, they began to shout with joy, "Hosanna, Hosanna! Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Some people cut branches off the palm trees, just like this. They laid the branches on the road. Other people spread their coats on the road. And they all praised God in loud voices for the wonderful things Jesus had done. Jesus rode to the big city of Jerusalem. The crowds followed him. The leaders of the people were angry. "See how all the people follow Jesus now? They do not follow us anymore. We must get rid of Jesus," they said. And that is the end of that story. So, have any of you ever had a friend who was really nice to you, and then all of a sudden, a day or two later, they were really mean to you and they acted like they weren't even your friend anymore? Okay, one head nodding. Yeah, so I think all of us have had experiences like that where somebody you thought they were your friend, and then all of a sudden it's like they're a completely different person, and all of a sudden they just don't treat you like their friend anymore. Well, in today's story, all the people treated Jesus like he was their friend, that they were really excited about him. But we will see throughout this week that those people ended up turning their backs on Jesus. Now, if you think about what this was like when you were handing out the palm branches, it was kind of like a big parade. Have you ever been to a parade? Like maybe the Halloween parade here in town or a St. Patrick's Day parade? Well, you can think about the people who are waving the palm branches. It's kind of like if they had been holding signs that said, "Jesus 2015. Because that was really what they were looking for. They were hoping that Jesus would be a king and get rid of the mean people that were being bad to them. So they really like wanted Jesus, basically, to run for office and be like the president, basically. However, that wasn't Jesus's plan. He had a different idea for what he wanted to do. And he showed us that he came to make peace. And later that week, he even washed the feet of his followers. Only a few people were real, true friends to Jesus from the start of that week until the end. So that's what I want to remember today, is being faithful to Jesus and being a true friend to the people around us. So let's finish with a short prayer. Dear God, help us to be true to Jesus throughout all of our days, and to be faithful friends to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hmm. We are now going to collect the offering, and Ruth will lead us in an offertory song.
384 in the blue hymnal worship book, 384.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for all you have done for us. Use these gifts we have given today to help to make your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. We will now have the scripture readings.
Psalm 118, 1 through 12. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and he answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. 19 through 29. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this and is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And Mark 11:1-11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, Why are you doing this? Tell them, The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly. They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, What are you doing untying that colt? They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
Now turn to the back of your bulletins and we will read the call to authenticity. We'll read it responsively. Are you sure about what you're doing, God? We wish your ways were clear and simple, that the good were rewarded and the evil punished. Help us to take another look. Now we're going to read together the call to grace that's also there on the back of the bulletin. The Lord is God and has shined a light on us. The Lord is good. God's faithfulness lasts forever.
Good morning. Good morning, and may the peace of Christ be with you. The psalmist says, Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I think that's something that we could probably say over and over again, so I invite you to repeat after me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. For the past several weeks, I was waiting patiently, well, perhaps not so patiently, but I was waiting for last weekend's trip to Ontario to see our children and our granddaughter. And as the time drew nearer and the excitement increased, it was easy to say and to think, Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. But then just a few days before leaving, I began to take notice of the long-term weather forecast and observed that our planned departure date of Friday morning was being threatened by an impending snowstorm with snow accumulation predictions up to 3 to 5 inches of snow. How could this be? And how could this come from a God who is good, whose love endures forever? Well, after my initial panic, I realized there were other options to consider, We could leave Thursday evening and avoid the snowfall. But I had a worship committee meeting Thursday evening, and besides, we had arranged to have our dog Rusty stay with the Dursteins, who so very graciously agreed to welcome him into their home, with the arrangement that we would drop him off in the evening. But after a bit of rearranging with members of the worship committee and with the Dursteins, it worked out that we would be able to leave on Thursday at 5 p.m. Oh, what a break. And once again, it seemed so right to say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Having dropped Rusty off at the Dursteins, we made our way onto Highway 99 toward the I-80. And I commented to Brenda how nice it was to not have our beloved and neurotic dog in the car, whining and doing his best to crawl all over me as I drove. And it was easy to think, so easy to think, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." And as we made our way west on the I-80, I was so grateful for our early start, not only to avoid the snowfall, but also to spend most of our trip in the daylight hours avoiding the heavy deer population that we drive through each time we go on that trip. That was until we came to a complete standstill at mile marker 125. And there we sat, barely moving, for 2 hours. And suddenly again, my euphoric thoughts of thanks for God's goodness and love that allegedly endures forever eroded away, and I was angry and frustrated sitting in a traffic jam on the I-80. Meanwhile, in the back seat, Grace was texting her sisters, informing them of our predicament and letting them know we would be arriving much later than planned. And one of our older daughters texted back, and, you know, this just goes to show how observant and perceptive one's children can be. There's no way of you can hide your true persona. And she texted back to Grace, "On a scale of 1 to 10, how angry is Dad right now?" And her guess was that I was at 11. And so I attempted to implement relaxation techniques endorsed by Juilliard-trained physicians Van Nostrand and Costanza, that in times of high stress, you simply need to repeat, "Serenity now, serenity now, serenity now." And I can tell you that doesn't work at all. Finally, after 2 hours of sitting in this gridlock, we were able to clear the area and continue on with our trip, now traveling in the dark through deer country with a very late arrival time. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." The psalmist expresses gratitude and thanks to God in a rather matter-of-fact way and a confessional way, most surely knowing that life is not always grand, that irritating things can happen, that life can be hard and difficult, and even sometimes almost unbearable. This week, my good friends, who I've spoken of before, Greg and Janice, called me at work, as they always do. And Greg and Janice are friends who live in a group home in Hamilton. I could tell immediately upon answering the call that this was going to be a difficult conversation. Janice was beside herself, sobbing and crying so hard I could barely make out what she was saying. And I had anticipated this call might come, knowing that the tensions in their home were building with the staff over the past few months. And now Janice, who had shared a room with Greg, her only trusted soulmate and surrogate brother, for more than 10 years, was now being forced to move into another room by the staff. And not only to move into another room, but to move into the room with the other person in the household whom she never got along with. And it seemed as if they did it in spite. So she was crying, and through her tears, she begged me to pray for her, to do whatever I could to fix the situation. And then, perhaps most painful to hear, she begged me one more time to pray because she said she could no longer pray herself, feeling as if now God too had abandoned her. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. I've now been a part of Allegheny Conference Leadership Council for just about a year, and one of the great joys in this role has been to work alongside our moderator, Kathy Spory. And just another story to tell you how small a world we really live in. I first got to know Kathy when her daughter Monica was one of our teachers at the school in Chicago. And both Monica and Kathy have what I can only describe as an exuberant, God-inspired, and God-blessed spirit, a positive outlook on life. They are exceedingly gracious and grateful. And so one of the little ways in which Kathy has encouraged that spirit within our leadership group is that every time she sends out an email, she ends it with a list of things she's thankful for. Every email has a little list of things that she's thankful for, things that she's experienced in the past day or the past week. This has been a good discipline for the soul in consideration of some of the difficult and weighty matters we've been grappling with in leadership within our conference. When Janice told me she could no longer pray because she was convinced God had abandoned her, I encouraged her to keep praying nonetheless, to hold on to that faith, even though it seemed as if there was no evidence that she should have faith, to remind her that God loved her and not to give up. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. God's love endures, so says the psalmist. Endurance, the capacity to withstand, the power of enduring an unpleasant or difficult process or situation without giving way, so says Webster's dictionary. God's love endures forever. God does not give way. God's commitment to us is written in stone and lived out and consummated on the cross in death. Jesus makes his way into the city on Palm Sunday, a day we remember and we relive each calendar year in the life of the church. And Jesus arrives with great fanfare, as the children did with their palm branches today, the laying of garments down on the road as an act of tribute, homage, and worship. These desperate people awaiting the Messiah, who will save them from all that plagues them, from their poverty, from their occupation under Roman rule, from their misery. And from these things, they will soon discover that Jesus will be a major disappointment. In a few days, they will not be able to say, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." It will take a few more days for that one to sink in before they recognize what God has really done, who God really is, how an empire, the greatest empire of its time, cannot contain the spirit of Jesus, even after being nailed to a cross as the insurrectionist he is. The psalmist writes, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day, this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad." Jesus is the cornerstone. Jesus is foundational. The way of Jesus is what holds us together. "I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation." We believe that Jesus saves us, that Jesus liberates us, as God liberated the Israelites time and time again. And it would be good for us to consider those things from which Jesus has liberated us in the past. For instance, from grief, or from lost, or from lost opportunities, from things said and done that we know we cannot take back, from disappointment in ourselves and disappointment in others. Because in the end, when all is said and done, there is the love of God, God's love that endures forever. Greg called me on Friday to give me a bit of an update on how Janice was doing. He said she was still crying a fair bit, but was having some better moments as well. And then, of course, the appeal came. The appeal that we've heard several times and difficult times in the past, for Janice's appeal was one we'd heard before. Why can't you adopt me? Why can't you adopt me? Then everything would be better in my life. Why can't I be a part of your family? All I want is to be loved by somebody. If only it was that simple. But maybe it is. I was once told that in pastoral leadership, you go at your own peril when you describe church as a family. Really? Are we really a family? Do we really believe that? Is that really who we are? Are we really here for each other as a family? I was just with my family last weekend. They are my family. So then who are we? Are we sisters and brothers? The body of Christ? Are we the children of God? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. God's love as exemplified in Christ, that's where we pin our hopes. That's where we place our trust. That's the way we commit ourselves to go. We say the way of Jesus liberates us and saves us and also delivers us from those things that haunt us. Jesus delivers us from our dark places, from acedia, from our lethargy, from those things that seem like they won't let go, from our sinful ways that sometimes hurt others, those around us, and hurt God, because we know that God's love endures forever. John Holbert describes God's love as unbreakable love. Do we really believe that God's love is unbreakable? Back when I was a teenager, my cousin Randy and I were in the machine shed in the workshop at my grandfather's and uncle's farm, and we were told that we were supposed to retrieve this really heavy box of baling string that was stored in the rafters of that machine shed. And so we got up on these rafters and we're kind of teetering back and forth, and each of us has an end of the box. And then we started doing something that teenagers sometimes do. We started laughing. And as the more we laughed, the more we realized we're not going to hold on to this box much longer. And so we decided we'll just let it go. What we failed to take into account, though, was that our grandfather's van was parked right below, and that box went right through the windshield of his van. And I can tell you that my grandpa, my opa, was very angry, but thankfully his unbreakable love for us trumped the shattered glass of the van. The psalmist tells us that God is good, which means that God is just and righteous and abounds in grace. When I was a child, the standard meal prayer was, and perhaps this was the same one for some of you, God is great, God is good, and we thank God for our food. By God's hands we all are fed. Thank you, God, for daily bread. Amen. And this prayer used to confuse me. I recall asking my parents more than once, how can you say God is great and then say God is good? Doesn't great trump good any day of the week? Everybody knows that. My parents, when I was at an early age, didn't appreciate my hermeneutical inquisitiveness, but they got over it eventually. But God's greatness is all about what God has done and continues to do for us, even on this day. Even if this day feels like our lives are a complete and total disaster, God's greatness continues. And God's goodness indicates why God does what God does. Because God is just and righteous, and God's love endures forever. And so every time we declare, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever, we are reminding ourselves that our lives are a gift, and that our confession is a declaration of what the Lord has done for us, in us and with us. And so it is right that today, as we relive the story of Jesus' final entrance into Jerusalem, as we consider that this journey of unbreakable love will eventually make its way to the cross for you and for me, that we give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And so I invite you to repeat it after me. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen.
We're now going to have a second look at one of the scripture readings, the Psalm 118 passage. This time I will be reading from the Message. Thank God because he's good, because his love never quits. Tell the world, Israel, his love never quits. Swing wide the city gates, the righteous gates. I'll walk right through and thank God. This temple gate belongs to God, so the victors can enter and praise. Thank you for responding to me. You've truly become my salvation. The stone the masons discarded as flawed is now the capstone. This is God's work. We rub our eyes. We can hardly believe it. This is the very day God acted. Let's celebrate and be festive. Salvation now, God, salvation now. Oh, yes, God, a free and full life. Blessed are you who enter in God's name. From God's house we bless you. God is God. He has bathed us in light. Festoon the shrine with garlands. Hang colored banners above the altar. You're my God, and I thank you. Oh, my God, I lift high your praise. Thank God, he's so good. His love never quits. We will now have the hymn of response.
Please turn in your purple Sing the Story books to number 121. 121. Nothing is lost on the breath of God. And if you would be willing to stand.
So we're going to have the benediction and the sending hymn. So those of you who are able, please stand and open your blue hymn books to number 237. And after the benediction, we will sing that song. And yes, palm waving is encouraged. Let us go forth from this service, grateful for a Savior who was willing to die that we all might live. As God has turned our world upside down and inside out, as well as our assumptions upside down and inside out, may we be willing to be led by the Spirit into uncertain places, showing the love that has been shown to us. Amen.
We'll be singing verses 1.